Well, take your Bible. Let's go to Isaiah 64 this morning. And while you find our text today in Isaiah 64, let me thank scores of you that have spoken to me. And thank you for, number one, praying last Sunday night as I preached at the pastor's conference, and then many of you tuning in online and being a part of that. Thank you for your encouragement. And I'm going to ask you to begin praying now. I was just sharing with Helen as she was saying to me down here that she had watched and prayed for us. I was asked by the convention to preach the convention sermon next year in St. Louis, so I'll be doing that in St. Louis during the SBC, and looking forward to be a part of that, so pray. I've already made about half of them mad last Sunday night, so I got half yet to go, so we'll deal with the rest of them next year, okay, so that'll be good. I ask you to pray. That God would give us a good word. Boy, the Lord gave a great convention, especially Tuesday night when everything built up to that. You should have seen that Columbus Convention Center. Packed, people standing around the walls in the back. And for 2 hours and 45 minutes, I don't believe anybody left. We prayed and we prayed. We called on heaven, we prayed. And I'm telling you, the wind of God blew in that room. And we left there a different people. I believe God's started something that will take us. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to ask us to come to the call to fall as we fall on our knees and pray next Sunday morning. I'm going to ask us to pray for revival. We're not going to spend the whole service as we've done in the past on our knees, but we are going to take a little time, and we're going to call out to the Lord next Sunday. So don't you dare miss next week as we come to call to the fall, and we're going to fall to call on the Lord God. Well, this morning, we are in Isaiah 64. The very first verse of the chapter is a phenomenal revival verse, and if you've never studied Isaiah 64:1, that Lord, you would rend the heavens and come down and the mountains quake at your presence. My soul, what a text that you find right there. But I'm over in verse 8. Dealing with fathers today in Isaiah 64, beginning in verse 8, you follow along as we read through verse 12 and the end of the chapter. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, look now, all of us are your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house, that's the temple, where our fathers, plural, praised you, has been burned by fire, and all our precious things have become a ruin. Will you restrain yourself at these things, O Lord? Will you keep silent and afflict us beyond measure? Fathers, on two dimensions, or in two dimensions today, our Father, the one in heaven, our vertical fatherhood. He is the Father, we the children. Then, as you get over to verse 11, we come to the horizontal dimension. Our fathers, not in heaven, but our fathers on earth. I want us to deal with those two things for a few moments this morning. Turn your attention to me very quickly, first of all, to our Father in heaven. Isaiah says it this way, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. God is our Father. Now, many of our people, especially of the millennial and coming behind that millennial generation, have a hard time loving God as Father because they have had such a poor example of fatherhood. But if you had a great earthly father, as I did and do, you understand this concept. He is our Father in the good sense of all that would be Father. Father knows best. Remember the old show? Some of you old as I am. Leave it to Beaver. Had a great daddy. I noticed the other day, I did a little study on Andy of Mayberry. Did you know that everybody in Mayberry, you know why it was such a pleasant place? No one was married. Andy was not married. Barney was not married. Thelma Lou was not married. Gomer was not married. Goober was not married. Floyd the Barber was not married. There was only one married guy. That was Otis, and he stayed drunk all the time. Go look at it. But all those single folks had a daddy. Amen? Yes, they did somewhere. Father. For our Father in heaven. Four things I want you to see about the Father in heaven coming right out of Isaiah 64. Four things. Number one, the first thing about our Father is that He creates us. Notice it. We're the clay. You are the potter. He's the potter. He puts us on the wheel and He makes us. Listen to me. God created you. You didn't come from a slime or an ooze or a bang or a bust. You sure didn't come from some monkey form. God breathed into you and you became different than any other created thing. Because God has breathed in you and given you a spirit. God made you. Don't get over that. God made you. When we start telling everybody that they come from animals, they act like animals. God made you. He is the potter and you are the clay. God took that dust and made man. He took that bone and formed that woman. There's a lot of mystery in creation. But never, ever forget, it is the primary root of all theology. It will be the primary root of government. That God made us. We didn't make ourselves. He's in charge. Number one, He created us. Number two, not only did He create us, He creates us, He unites us. Look in verse 8. We are the clay, you are the potter. And all of us are the work of your hand. All of us. He unites us. He makes us one. We are of the human race. And we are one. I'm always amazed when I fly and I sit in the airport and watch. They go by, and unless there's a deformity, there's two legs, and two arms, and two hands, and 10 fingers, and 2 eyes, and 2 ears, and 1 nose. They have so much in common, but no one looks like the next one coming. Just look around in here. It's amazing. How do we know each other? Because we look different. You are special made. And never forget, you're not better than anyone else in this room. And you are not below anyone in this room. We're all birthed the same way, and we will all end up the same way, dead. We are a race, human, and God unites us. Now, there's two unitings. Number one, everyone made is of this race. We sing that little song, red and yellow, black and white. They are every other one precious in his sight. That's the way we live, but that's not the way we sing. Amen. You see, he unites us. The Bible says that we should love one another. That love them. He unites us. You see, racism knows no color restriction. Racism simply sees oneself as better and others as inferior. And the root of it is as old as the world. It's simply pride. Pride. I think I'm better than you. God unites us. Because all of us are the work of his hand. He's the Father God. He creates us. He unites us on a human race. But there's a second uniting. Hear me. Jesus prayed that his followers, those that have been born by the Spirit, would be one. There is a second unification. And that unification is in the spiritual matter. We are all one in a human race family, and that's on a physical plane. But then you go above that to a spiritual oneness. We are to love one another in the body of Christ. To do that, we have to forgive each other. We have to reach out to each other. I've been beat up a little this week. Not at the convention, but when I got home. And I went in my prayer closet, and many of you read this on my Facebook account, and I just, you couldn't speak to this racial issue because somebody would just beat on you. If you didn't say it right, or if you didn't call the killer the certain thing, I mean, it was, you just... It's amazing how mean America is right now. Just slam mean. I'm just telling you, it's just mean out there. And so I wrote in my journal on Friday, Lord, everyone I meet today who's black that I don't know, I'm going to say to them, my name's Ted Traylor, and could I have just a moment of your time? I don't want to bother you, but in light of all that has happened in our nation this week, I want you to know I'm just sorry, and I love you. Hope you have a great day. I had 10 conversations like that Friday. It started in the bank with a lady I'd never met. You know what she did after I said I love you and thank you? She asked me a question. She said, can I hug your neck? I said, you can. I went downtown for a lunch. I finished lunch and I just had a little extra time. And so I just walked up Palafox Street and I met a young black man delivering for the pita pit. And he came walking by me. Man, he was working hard, sweating. Well, it's been hot lately. I said, young man, how are you today? And he turned, he said, sir, I'm fine. How are you? I said, well, I was writing in my prayer journal this morning, and I just want you to know I'm a Christ follower, and all in light of everything that's going on in our nation, I'm sorry, and I just want you to know I love you, and I shook his hand. That young black man looked at me, and he said, why, you know, sir. He said, this is not a racial deal up in South Carolina. He said, these people just mean as hell. That's all that's about. I went to the Wahoos game. Got there that night and started up to the ballpark. Did the lights just get dim?
Y'all right up there, David?
Okay. He went to sleep and leaned on the slides. What happened? No. We're going to Wahoo's game. I parked and I'm walking. Met a guy and shared with him. He looked at me like I had three heads. Who was it? I went on down the block and I met a lady standing there and I made my spiel. She said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Can I hug your neck?" She grabbed me around the neck. She got done, she held me out like this. She said, "You're that preacher over at that church." She said, "I don't know your name." She said, "Is Robert Gilliland still there? I know him." I said, "No, we got rid of him a long time ago." I've heard this for a long time now that you need to have a conversation. And so I just decided to have me some conversation. You know, it's amazing when you just talk to people how well you can get along. And I'm telling you, if that'll work with rank strangers in the streets of Pensacola, it'd work in the aisles of Olive Baptist Church. See, God didn't just create us. He unites. We are, all of us, the work of your hand. He creates us. He unites us. Number 3, verse 9 says he saves us. Glory to God. "Do not be angry, Lord, beyond measure, neither remember our sin." He saves us. Hear me. The same God who created you is the one who watched you sin and you went away from God, and he reached out to you and he redeemed you. When you go to Luke's Gospel chapter 15, and you get to verse number 20, you find a powerful, powerful verse in Luke 15 and verse 20. In the 15th chapter of Luke, you find those three parables there of lostness, where there's 10 or 100 sheep, 99 lost, 10 silver coins, 9 lost, 1 found. And then there are 2 sons. You remember, it's the prodigal son, and he decides to repent. And in Luke 15, 20, you read these words. So the prodigal, he got up, came to his father. Amen. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and he ran and he embraced him and he kissed him. And the son said to the father, "I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the slaves, "Quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put the ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Find the best fatted calf, kill it. We're going to have a party, because my son who was lost has been found." I don't know who you are today, but if you don't know that you're a Christian, you've never become a Christ follower, and you're walking away from God, and you've not believed, if today you will believe, if you will come to the Father, he will come running to you. He will hug you. He's already given his son for you. He will kiss you. He will forgive you. He will save you. Church, am I telling the truth? He'll do that. Our Creator, our Uniter, is our Savior. He saves us. Amen. But not only does he create us and unite us and save us, he forgives us. That's for those of us that are believers, that after we've been saved, now we've walked away from God and we've gotten into rebellion. 2 of the 10 people that I spoke with on Friday in my racial conversations asked for information about the church I went to and wanted to come. I didn't even invite them. They asked to be invited. One of them said to me, "It's been a long time since I've been in church, but I think I'd come to yours." Friend, if it's a long time since you've been with God and you need to be forgiven, I want you to look in verse number 9. "Lord, don't be angry beyond measure, O Lord, neither remember iniquity anymore. Behold, look now, all of us are your people. Lord, don't remember." Friend, when you ask God to forgive your sin, he remembers it no more. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just, he will forgive you your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you come home to him, if you will repent and come home to him, he forgives us. What a father. What a father What a father. He's the Father in heaven. But now Isaiah says, look right here. Look. Down in verse 11, there are our fathers on earth. And I want, if you're a man here today, you're a father, I want you to rise to your feet. All of our dads, I want you to stand on Father's Day Day. On Father's Day morning, I want you to stand. Fathers everywhere. They're everywhere around here. Amen. Give them a good hand, wouldn't you? Thank God for them. Yeah, amen. Father. Now I want you to stand up. I want you to stay right there. I've prayed about this. I think I want you to stand while I finish this sermon, all right? And if you get weak, need sit down. But I want you to look right here at me. These fathers, in this text, Isaiah says, and I could go on and on. You know, I read an article this morning about fatherhood. I think it was in the Washington Post. It said it's the hardest task you can ever be given. You get no manual of instruction. Hard to live up to it. I mean, you feel like a failure many times. What do fathers, earthly fathers, we see what the heavenly Father does for us. He creates us, He unites us, He saves us. What's our earthly Father? Three simple things in this text He does for us. Number one, they inspire us. Look at it in this text. Our holy and beautiful house where our fathers praised you. Now, men, listen to me. Look right here at me. Your children are watching you. And if you praise God, they'll praise God. If you live for God, they'll live for God. If you curse God, they'll curse God. If you stand for God, they'll stand for God. Isaiah says, our fathers in the beautiful house of where, he's talking about the temple, coming to church like this, when fathers praised, it was inspiration. My daddy's not a singer. Hard to ever hear him sing. Mother sing in the choir, the whole business. But my daddy could pray. I'd hear my father pray. He prays more now than he ever used to. And he used to pray, but he prays more. We go to that little kitchen table. I'll go there and you roll up to that table. And he can't hardly hear. And he thinks, I guess God's deaf because he prays loud now. And he calls out to the Lord. And I mean, we're just having a little ham sandwich and some chips and tea. And he prays longer than it takes to eat. You can't buy it. You can't buy hearing your father praise him. It's not for sale. If you ever hear your daddy cry out to God, it'll move you. Daddies inspire us. Now, mama's good, but I'm just telling you, there's something about that male voice. When it cries out to God, it inspires. Fathers inspire us. Number two, they don't just inspire us, they instruct us. They instruct us. He says in this text, we've come to your house. It's the house where we learned about God. They open the word, they instruct us, they show us. When we rise up and go out, when we walk in, they give us instruction. They say, that's the way, walk in it. Don't do that, do this. Go over there, don't go over there. Be here. They give instruction. Dad, you ought to be speaking that into the heart and life of your children. Their very actions inspire us. Their words instruct us. But now watch one last thing that these fathers do. They inspect us. Amen. Oh, Lord, your daddy ever inspect you? Amen. Notice Isaiah's talking about the house of God, this beautiful house. He says it's been burned with fire. He's making an inspection. He says Zion's become a witness. Jerusalem is desolate. What he's saying is sin has come and you've ruined a holy thing. Your daddy will inspect you, and when he finds that you've ruined a holy thing, he has to rebuke you in that. Well, I know the verse fits here, spare the rod, spoil the child, and there's a place for that rod and it should come. But let me tell you, the word of a godly father can drive more out of you than a board ever does on your backside. Just that word. There's a place for punishment. But he instructs us and he inspects us. He says that this precious place has been burned with fire. He said, Lord, will you restrain yourself at these things? Will you keep silent and afflict us beyond me? No, God will inspect us. And he'll tell you, you ought to do that, and you oughtn't do that. Amen for daddies that do it. Father, I don't feel work. Hear me. When you know truth, you got to share it with your children. And if you don't know it, then go learn it. So you can infuse it in them. Fathers. Thank God for fathers. We need a revival of fatherhood in America. It's part of the problem. We got all these kids running around crazy. Their daddy's gone. Half the homes in America got a daddy in them. My Lord, we need daddy to be there. Mama's good, but she's not good enough. You can have two mamas, and that ain't good enough. You have a mother and a stepmother. But I'm telling you, nobody does it like dad does it. He has a special unction and anointing. And he better do his job or America will fall, because the home will fall if father fails. He got to step up. So here's what I want us to do this morning. Men, you stay standing. And now I'm going to ask everybody else to join you. Now don't run to the door, because I'm a good little distance from being done. In a moment, I'm going to give a gospel invitation, and John's going to sing a song, and there's a daddy here this morning that ought to reach over to his wife and children saying, we're going to join that church right there. We're going right down there to join that church today. There's a daddy here that's lost. You don't know Jesus. You're without Christ. You don't know him. And I'm telling you today, if you'll call on his name, he will save you. If you'll ask him to save you. I did a funeral in here Thursday for Mary Stuart Fortune. Died of cancer. Last time I saw Miss Stuart, I saw her every day. When they put her in hospice, I went by those 4 or 5, however every day it was. Just drop in. The last day she is conscious, I said, Mary Stuart, is everything okay? You in heaven? And here's what she did. I reached over and shook her thumb. I want to ask you something today. And I want you to respond to me. Is everything all right with you and heaven? If you can't give me a thumbs up about that, you need to get up and walk right down here. You need to walk right down here and say to me, Pastor, I want to know him today. There's some fathers, members of this family. You may be saved, baptized, whatever, and you're a long way from God. And there's some daddies just need to come fall in this altar today. Now, quickly, there's people that are not fathers that are here. You say, Pastor, is it okay if I come? Well, you know it is. For a mother, a lady, a young teenager to come, sure it is. But fathers lead the way today on Father's Day. You say, God's pricked my heart. Today's my day. I need to come. My dad, he used to tell me to do that, and I've been a long way from God. You need to come home. Come home today. Honor your heavenly father and listen to your earthly father and come home. I want us to talk to the Father, and I want us to pray the prayer the Lord taught us. Now, you've got different translations, so I want us to pray it in the King James the way it's supposed to be prayed, all right? There's some verses that you just never get over, even if you've used a New American Standard for 25 years. Now, I want us to pray the Lord's Prayer. You see it come on the screen, but you probably won't need it. So let's say these words to our Father today. Would you join the pastor before we offer the invitation? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.